On Chof Dal Tevis, Tavshin Pebez, Yeshivas Siach Yitzchok, the Yeshiva of Rav Shigar, Schos Yagun Aleinu, had Yoim Iun Lekovid, the 15th Yahrzeit of Rav Shigar. And the name of the Yoim Iun was Zehut Ubris, Identity and Covenant, Giur V'Eskar HaZehus HaYehudis Bizman Hazah, Conversion and the Challenge of Jewish Identity in the Modern Era. And in the background of this year is the very politically charged question in contemporary Israel of the fact that there are so many individuals who live in Israel, many from Russian backgrounds, Ukrainian backgrounds, Ethiopian backgrounds, and many other nationalities who made Aliyah to Israel and are residents of Israel, who live in Israel, but who nonetheless are not halachic Jews. So the question is, how do we resolve that issue? Or even if we're not going to resolve it, what should that issue raise for us? So there were several lectures throughout the course of the Yom Iyun. The first there was by Rav Uri Lifshitz. And Rav Lifshitz addressed the Giur process as discussed in Maseches Yevamos, that the Gemara tells us when somebody says to Beis Din they want to begayir, Beis Din tells him or her that these are the mitzvahs and tells them, you should know, being a Jew is difficult. And throughout the course of this year, Rav Lifshitz wanted to note that Giur is not just about the act of going to the mikvah, it's not just about the act of milah, it's not just about rituals, but there's also a verbal component. There's an element of purifying one's speech, or engaging in purifying speech, that there's a constant act of oimrim loy, Beis Din speak to the ger, and the ger responds. And the Lifshitz wanted to connect this to Rav Shigar's understanding of why it is we engage in so much limud ha-Torah and Tefillah. And he said that Rav Shigar explains that Torah and Tefillah, the purpose of Torah and Tefillah, is to create a purified verbal context or linguistic context in which we exist. In the next year, Rav Elchanan Nir spoke about the virtue of Gerim. And here, he focused on a teaching of Rav Kook, which speaks about secularization. And Rav Kook noted that secularization, at first glance, seems to the denizens, the residents of the Beis Medrash, to be a negative phenomenon. But, Rav Kook says, on further analysis, secularization actually indicates that people are dissatisfied with the current state of affairs in the Beis Medrash. But that state of affairs, if they're dissatisfied with, there might be actually be good reason to be dissatisfied with the state of affairs. And so the fact that people are exiting from the Beis Medrash and are criticizing the Beis Medrash is a force which causes the Beis Medrash to engage in self-reflection and to not be self-satisfied. And Rav Nir continued to say that very often if you'll see people who are natives. They're natives to Torah, they're natives to Tefillah, and sometimes there's less inspiration or there is less of a sense of wonder and freshness in their religious service. Gerim, he wanted to argue, bring a sense of greater freshness and beauty and wonder to Judaism, and therefore it's necessary for the Jewish people as a whole to have Gerim, because those Gerim, and Balachua for that matter, inspire and elevate those who are native Jews. Coming from something of a different angle, however, was Dr. Eitan Abramovitz. And Rav Abramovitz brought various ketaim from the teachings of Rav Tzadok HaKohen. And Rav Tzadok has some very strong things to say. And he says that that what's the difference between a non-Jew and a Jew? Says that a non-Jew, archetypally, is somebody who lives in a world of ego, in a world of I-ness. And therefore, that explains why the Gemara tells us that goy shoshavas chayiv misa. If a non-Jew rests on Shabbos, they're liable to die. Now, what does that mean? So the way Rav Tzaddik understands that is not that we go ahead and kill the non-Jew, but rather that a non-Jew's entire existence, or the archetypal non-Jew's existence, is one of egotism. And if you're engaged in a state of non-being, if you are non-being, then if your raison d'etre, if the reason why you exist, if your existence is to be an egotistic individual, then the act of resting or ceasing from action is a sort of death. Whereas, says Rav Tzaddik, the archetypal idea of the Jew is that the Jew is meant to engage in self-nullification. So Shabbos is the Jew's natural state. It's just that since the Jew lives in Olam HaMaseh, in the world of action, the Jew must engage in that world during the week. Furthermore, Rav Ravitz brought a fascinating teaching from Rav Tzaddik, where Rav Tzaddik discusses the idea of Yisro, of Moshe's father-in-law, being le'enayim. Moshe tells Yisro not to leave because Yisro will be the eyes of the Jewish people. Rav Tzaddik says, again, in a very sharp formulation, that a ger never grasps the depth, never grasps the ultimacy of Torah, but instead only grasps the levush, only grasps the exterior, only grasps the garment. There's a certain intuitive connection which a ger, which an outsider, can never have. And that's why when the Jews were in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu asks Israel to be eyes for the Jewish people, because when the Jews are in their exilic state and they're not fully connected to their inner compass and their inner intuitions, then it's necessary to have an outsider, it's necessary to have somebody who's connected to the exterior to guide them. The next shiur was by Rav Yair Dreyfus, and Dreyfus made two central points. The first is that a homeborn Jew, somebody who doesn't convert but is essentially Jewish, was born Jewish, has a certain depth of connection. And they can call out, Abba, Abba, they can call out, Tate, Tate, Father, Father, to Hashem, and have a certain feeling of intimacy with Hashem, which you don't get if you come in as an outsider. Nonetheless, Rav Dreyfus wanted to say that a ger who is koreis bris, a ger who enters brito shel Avraham Avinu, who enters the Abrahamic covenant, is in a sense able to redefine themselves in such a way that they too can have that feeling of fatherness, of intimacy with Hashem. And Rav Dreyfus then began to speak about the difficulty with commitment that we see in the modern era, or the postmodern era. People have difficulty committing to traditional forms of marriage. People have difficulty committing to living in a certain place, difficulty committing to a certain field of study. And very often they'll say, that's because I feel that it boxes me in. I feel jailed. I feel locked up inside of this context. Rav Dreyfus said that when a person chooses such a context, the person chooses an identity of being a Jew, a person chooses to live in this place, a person chooses to marry this person, and then goes ahead and bonds with that person or place or whatever it is that they've committed to, there's something extremely liberating about the bond that creates, and true freedom can be found there. Rav Noam Samet, one of the Ramim in Rav Shagar's yeshiva, Siach Yitzchak, Rav Samet challenged Rav Dreyfus and said, the reality is that people have a very hard time committing and a very hard time finding that sense of freedom within commitment. And this, Rav Dreyfus said, it's all in the mind, it's all a matter of your perspective, and if you choose, then you'll connect, and if you don't, then you will not. The next year was offered by Rav Re'im HaKohen, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Otniel. And Rav Re'im delivered a particularly fiery shiur. And he said the question of giur, the question of conversion today in Israel, is a question of rabbinic responsibility. And he said that rabbis, contemporary rabbis, must choose to engage this question, because this question of contemporary Gior, he thinks, is one of the most burning questions within contemporary Israeli society, given the preponderance, given the great number of non-Jewish immigrants who live in Israel today. And Rebbe Aim contends, as do many, that if the rabbinic establishment does not make it such that these people will convert to Judaism, then there will be rampant assimilation within the Israeli population. Rebbe Aim's favored rabbinic solution to the problem of so many non-Jews in Israel was not to lower the standard of conversion, which is a suggestion that many make. Many say that we should lower the standard of conversion and not say that these non-Jews living in Israel need not accept Hashem and accept mitzvos, and they should instead just join the Jewish people by virtue of the fact that they live in Israel and they have cultural connection. But rather, he suggests using the mechanism of the Gemara in Ksubas, which tells us Ger Katan Matibil Inoisei Al Das Bezdin, that if you have a child, Bezdin can choose to Tevil, can choose to immerse this child and make them a Ger. And why? The Gemara reasons is Chosuloi, because it is a virtue, it's a positive thing to be Jewish, at least if you're a child. And the Gemara gives two possible reasons. One is because children will enjoy doing what their parents do. If their parents are being Jewish, or in this case living in a Jewish state, then the children would appreciate that. And then there's also a certain element of spiritual virtue, spiritual gain, spiritual benefit that one gets by becoming a Ger. So Rebbe Aim thought that this would be the ideal method for dealing with the tremendous challenge of Gior in contemporary Israel, that take young children, send these children to Jewish camp, to Jewish school in Israel, and then convince them to go dunk for a tevila in the mikvah. And even if they don't necessarily want to keep all the mitzvos, that will count as a good Gior. And Rebbe Aim finished his shiur by reiterating the importance of having rabbis who will be responsible individuals and who will be socially responsible and will not only engage within their own Dalat Amis, will not only engage within their very small circumscribed area. He told the anecdote of a certain well-known Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, whose brother began dating a non-Jewish woman, and very quickly, 2 weeks later, the non-Jewish woman was Jewish, she was converted. And they asked the rabbi, how is it possible that you can convert somebody so quickly? So he says, "Etzli lo shayach sheyashig siv mishpach." By me, it's not shayach, it's not possible that we'd have a non-Jew in the family. Rav Noam Samet gave the following shir, and he tried to understand, is it possible to have a flexible covenant? Is it possible to have a flexible commitment? And he said, at first glance, you would think that the term commitment is antithetical to flexibility. It's either a commitment or it's flexible, but it's not. But it cannot be both. He suggested that Gior, that conversion, might be a good paradigm for illustrating the compresence of commitment on the one hand and flexibility on the other. Because on the one hand, Geirus, engaging in the bris, is a tremendous commitment. On the other hand, it demonstrates tremendous flexibility in that previously the person had a different identity and now they're taking on a new identity. And if Samet wanted to suggest that this might be a good model for the way in which Jews approach halacha, and particularly the Tiluk Lu'umi community in Israel. He argued, following Rav Shigar, that the Dati Lu'umi community is, in a sense, a community of Ba'alei Tshuva. Meaning to say that socially, the Dati Lu'umi community had very little Torah exposure in the early years of the state. And the Dati Lu'umi community's tremendous connection to Torah is a relatively recent development in the last several decades. So, Rav Samet said that very often when somebody is a Baal Tshuva or a Ger, there can be a certain rigidity in the way they approach halacha, a certain rigidity in the way they approach tradition, and perhaps Giur could serve as a model of this paradox of, on the one hand, having strong commitment, but on the other hand, having a degree of flexibility. Harabanit Chana Gudinger delivered the final shiur, and she began by discussing the nature of the korban that was brought in Har Sinai when the Jewish people were engaging in their conversion process, and she brought various opinions of the Gemara, but there's one opinion which says, in the Nisach Kisses, that the korban the Jews brought in Har Sinai was a korban oda. So Harabanit Gudinger used a teaching from the Rav, from Rav Yosef HaLevi Soloveitchik, in his Shura Masachas Krisis, and he suggested that perhaps this Ola parallels the Olas Tamid, that we're meant to bring a carbon Ola every morning and every evening, and this carbon Ola every morning and every evening could also parallel the Shema that we say every morning and every evening. Rav Tzadik HaKohen explains that the Shema that we say every morning and every evening indicates there's been some change in our awareness, some change in our day, but nonetheless, we still recite the same Shema. Meaning to say, despite the change that occurs in our life, we reaffirm our commitment to Hashem, our commitment to Torah. In a similar manner, the Korban Ola is this check-in, it's this reaffirmation of our commitment to Hashem every morning and every evening. And in that sense, every morning and every evening, we engage in a process of giur. We reaffirm our commitment to Hashem, to Torah, and to Torah values. And in this context, Harabanit Gudinger brought the very well-known teaching in Kabbalah of Tzimtzum B'Shvil HaGilui. The Arizal was Mechadish, that Hashem was Mitzamsim himself and created a Chal HaPanui. And within that space, within that empty space, Hashem manifests himself in midos, Hashem manifests himself in a personality that we can relate to. So in a similar fashion, Harabanit Gudinger wants to suggest, based on Torah Mem Tes in the Kutei Maran, that every morning and evening, when we say Shema, or bring the Korban Tamid, the Tamid Shel Shachris and the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, we recreate our identity as Jews. And this is relevant to Giur, because back in the day, your identity tended to be pretty rigid, but now, in a place, in a world, where identities are so flexible, it's important to engage in an act of reaffirmation and recreation.